Hello, friends, and welcome to the Voices of MCC podcast. My name is Todd Chipman. I'm one of the pastors at MCC. Our hope is that you will be encouraged in your faith as you hear how MCC beliefs and practices are fleshed out in the daily lives of the members of our fellowship. I'm excited today to have my wife, Julie, along with DJ Noon here in our podcast and thinking about the Saved by Faith Youth Camp, SBFYC, that took place last week in Salina, Kansas at Webster Conference Center. Webster Conference Center is owned by the Kansas-Nebraska Convention of Southern Baptists. And so this is a facility that can be used by SBC churches for various activities, churches outside of the SBC as well as events would work out in their schedule. And this conference MCC Youth participated in last week. And DJ is one of the sponsors for MCC, and Julie went along helping out. So excited to have you both reflecting with us here. Welcome to the Voices of MCC podcast.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Yep. Good to be here.
Well, Julie, let's start with you thinking about camp. Let's start with not just the SBFYC camp last week, but let's start with your experiences of church camp. We've talked about this over the years. Flashback to the 80s and big hair and hairspray. All of the fashion of youth camp. Humor aside, give us a few snapshots of youth camp back in the day for you.
Yeah, I did go to youth camp every year after seventh grade through, I think, my senior year of high school. So went with my youth group in Nebraska. And it was actually the Kansas-Nebraska Camp Super Summer, which they still have. Great memories of just being with my youth group and getting away, hearing different men preach and fun memories. Just, I guess the word that comes to mind is just camp was always really fun. So I was really excited to get to go back to camp after so many years away.
It was fun. The last few weeks as we drew near to the departure date for you and our daughter Bella to go away to camp, just your excitement for that was infectious to me. And wondering, what's it going to be like to be back at camp? Because you had so many good memories and how the Lord worked in your life in those times. I know that your brother went to a youth camp as a student and sensed a call to ministry, changed his college major, changed colleges just a few months before college began, and has been a pastor for over 20 years now. So in our own family, we know the power of youth camp. DJ, how about you? Let's circle back as well, not just this last week, but camp memories that you attended as a camper, or I know that you've been a counselor or a helper before at camp.
So one of the most exciting things for me about going to this specific camp was just being able to be back at Webster Conference Center. So I didn't have a whole lot of experience with camps growing up. I went to a camp that we went to down in Arkansas, like in seventh and eighth grade. I forget what the camp was called, but I kind of removed myself from a lot of church activities until my junior year of high school. But then our youth pastor back when I was a member at First Baptist Church of Kearney had some history at Super Summer as well. And so he took the youth to Super Summer in Salina, Kansas at the same conference center that we were just at this past week. And so I attended Super Summer my junior the summers between my junior and senior year, and then after I just graduated as a senior. And God really used camp in my life as well. That first year that I attended, he really used it to kind of draw out a lot of sin, kind of put on display some sin that I had been unrepentant of. I contribute a lot of a lot of the work that God did in my heart leading me towards repentance and salvation to a camp experience. And the following year was actually where I sensed my call to ministry. just after graduating high school, going back to camp again, felt a call to ministry at the same camp, and then was fortunate enough to be able to serve on staff at that same camp the following year, the summer of 2016, and really enjoyed that, being able to just pour into so many students' lives, and then was able to go back one more time as a sponsor a couple years ago before I joined MCC, and helped out with Super Summer there as well. So yeah, camp has been an awesome experience for me, and you know, God can really move in those environments.
So fun to hear both of you speak about this. Well, let's catch folks up on last week at camp there. Julie, as you look back, give us a few snapshots in terms of the structure of camp, themes, schedule, those kinds of ideas, just to fill folks in for those who weren't there, or maybe parents whose kids went, but trying to still piece everything together on what happened in terms of the big picture and structure. Go ahead and just give us a few snapshots.
Sure. Yeah. Camp was very structured, which is helpful for kids, helpful for the adults too. So every afternoon and every morning looked the same. We were there 4 mornings, 4 afternoons, and morning consisted of personal devotion time. And we chose as a group, DJ led us to meet in a physical area together. There was some accountability that everybody was enjoying their personal devotional time. So we sat as a group that kind of spread out, had personal devotion time and chapel. And all the chapels were the same. They were about an hour and a half. And we had some great worship music. And we had adults sharing testimonies of their lives, focused on the ideas of church involvement and the importance of the local church. And that was the emphasis of the testimony time. And then we had Pastor Jim Orrick preach at each chapel session. So chapel in the morning after personal devotion time, and then we had lunch. And then the afternoons were always the same. We had kids had activity time, and that was structured. There was either outdoor games or games in the gym. And that was also time that your group could sign up to do obstacle course activities, which were rope challenges, zip line kind of things outside. And then there was free time. And the free time could be swimming in a pool, swimming in a lake, canoeing, paddleboarding, playing in the gym. But they just wanted kids active and not sitting in their rooms, just busy. And then there would be each afternoon, there was a breakout session. They had 4 different men teaching different aspects of kind of church life ideas. And they rotated by age group through those teachings. And then we had dinner and then chapel again, same structure as the morning. And then there was free time in the evening. Family time, which DJ led for our group. And it was just time for kids and leaders to reflect together as a church. And then we would have free time in the evenings. And one night for free time, we had a team volleyball game. And that was fun. Our MCC group played guys against girls volleyball. That was fun. So pretty structured. So that's kind of the flow of what camp looked like.
Thanks for that overview. That is so helpful to give us a perspective of what went on and when. DJ, as you look back at that schedule and you listen to Julie unpack it, let's think about maybe a memory or two or a moment or two that you could just grab hold of for you personally that encouraged you. Sometimes when we go to these events as sponsors or as leaders, God works in our lives and we're impacted from this. Was there a moment or there a few moments that you just sensed the Lord working in your life, maybe as a leader or just in the midst of what was going on as a participant there?
Yeah. I think the first thing that came to mind as you were asking that question was Julie just shared kind of the structure of what each day looked like. And so just after evening chapel, we would have that time where we came together and yeah, just kind of, you know, spoke about the day, talked about, you know, what had impacted the kids the most, you know, what kind of stood out in the preaching or in the personal devotion time or in breakout session, you know, what kind of stood out. And what was really encouraging to me was in those moments, just the amount of involvement that we had from the kiddos. Now, it was kind of helpful that all of them kind of knew each other, you know, they were all relatively close, so it was easy for them to open up and share. But I was just really encouraged just by the level of involvement they had, how willing they were to speak about just, you know, what they were experiencing in God's word, what God was kind of teaching them through that, what they were hearing in chapel, and to see their attentiveness in that, to see how engaged they were, and all of that was really encouraging to me as a sponsor, just being reminded that, you know, youth matter. Youth are a vital part of the church. Youth, you know, they are able to grasp onto things, you know, that sometimes we think that, you know, they couldn't because of their youth. So it was really encouraging to just see them be able to wrestle with a lot of these larger concepts. I think just another quick highlight was the time in the breakout sessions. I was so encouraged by, I only sat through two of them, two of the four total breakout sessions, but of the two that I sat through, I was really encouraged by what I heard and just the helpfulness that, so one of the specific breakout sessions was talking about spiritual gifts and the spirit, you know, knowing your spiritual gifts and using your spiritual gifts for the church, and just reminding me again of the importance of getting youth involved in all of these aspects of the church, you know, recognizing that God does not just gift us adults or us older folk, but that God has given gifts to all of his children if they have believed in him, that every one of us who has repented of our sins has, you know, can exercise spiritual gifts. And so the importance of integrating those youth into the larger body and allowing them opportunities to exercise their gifts. And also just a reminder for me to do the same, you know, a reminder for me to not hold tightly onto what God has gifted me to be able to do, but to willingly and freely exercise those, even in the mundane aspects of ministry. So those were a couple really big highlights for me, just on a spiritual perspective, on a connection with the kids.
Fun to hear you share those ideas, DJ, and it's great to see you using your gifts in that way. And you mentioned the way that kids responded to one another in that family time. And Julie, you had made that same comment when we spoke last week. You were just impressed with kids sharing ideas and not being quiet, but ready to answer and be involved and talk. That's encouraging. Anything else, Julie, from your perspective, just looking back, a personal highlight for you at the camp?
Yeah, I think just adding on to, you know, the kids and their comments, and really what made this so easy for this to happen is we had great preaching, and Jim Orrick is an excellent communicator, and the kids took notes, I mean pages of notes, and he went through seven churches in Revelation, just talking about what this says about Jesus and what Jesus is, what the messages he's delivering to these churches, and it was very structured. All of his sermons, he went through a pattern, a structure. And so the kids were able to take really good notes, and themes such as repentance kept coming up, and the kids were able to catch on to that. In fact, he taught the kids a catechism question kind of put to a tune on repentance. And so they just kept hearing these same ideas over and over again. And so I think that, kind of the simplicity of the message, which was so good, was what allowed the conversation to be so easy for them. And just basic ideas that are so important. But so that was a highlight for me too.
Fun to hear about God's word being the highlight of camp for Absolutely. You both and for kids too. That is something to rejoice in. DJ, when you think about themes that you heard Jim preach, and Julie mentioned here the structure, we've got Revelation 2 and 3, letters to the seven churches. And they do have a similar pattern, each of these letters, in terms of things that Jesus commends the churches for or condemns them for and so forth. Were there any particular lessons that stood out to you, DJ?
I think his, so there were seven total, or I think eight total worship times we had it for worship. And so the first worship session was just on Revelation 1, kind of setting the overview, getting things prepared. And then each service was dedicated to one of the letters. And so in the morning or in the evening, he would look at one specific letter, and he used that as a way to get through all of the seven letters. So the first letter, that message to Ephesus, it was such a great reminder for me to, I mean, at the very beginning in verse one, you know, it says to the angel, this is Revelation 2, verse 1, to the angel of the church in Ephesus write, the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the seven golden lampstands, says this. And if you backtrack just a little bit, to Revelation 1:20, that seven lampstands are defined as the seven churches. And so really, Christ is the one who walks among the seven golden lampstands. In other words, walks among his churches. And just the reminder that, you know, Christ is not just, you know, seated at the right hand of God, looking down upon all things and just kind of getting looking from above, but he is walking intimately with the church. And, you know, this is what kind of emphasizes the importance to live, you know, to live in such a way that honors that. And, you know, in that same letter, in that letter to Ephesus, you know, they get so many great commendations of doing great things. I mean, they're working hard, they're persevering, they're not allowing wicked men into the church. They're not allowing false teaching into the church, but the main thing that they're lacking is love. And this is one thing that, you know, we often emphasize in Christianity, but is so easy to miss or to neglect still, is just the aspect of making sure that all that we're doing is rooted in love. And because we understand that Christ loved us and died for us. And so it was great to for that reminder of one that, you know, that Christ is walking among us as a church of Jesus Christ, as Master's Community Church. Christ is walking with us as we are seeking after him. And so because of that, walk in love, walk in a way that genuinely cares for others, that makes sure that as we are working hard, as we are persevering, we are doing so with an understanding of the love that Christ has for us, and then expressing that love outward as well. So I think that message just kind of started off strong and set the pace for the rest of the time in these letters, and was just really, really great. Really great message for me.
Thanks for sharing, DJ. That is so encouraging. Julie, you had mentioned that the focus on the local church was one theme you recognized over and over and impacted you. Let's unpack that just a bit more here. What stood out to you in terms of just the teaching about the local church? How were kids impacted by thinking about the local church?
Yeah, well, one of the breakout sessions that especially was helpful for that was just a partner church of ours, one of the leaders teaching on spiritual gifts, like DJ already mentioned. But he really was making it so applicable to the kids that this is you are part of the church, and how can you serve in your church? What can you do to begin to make an impact on the younger generation? How can you connect with the older generation? What can you do? Like, this is your church. And the theme for the testimonies that adults shared in the chapel time, that what they were asking people to communicate was something about the local church, how that has affected their testimony, what God has done in their lives. And then also the director of the camp, he just really encouraged the kids, you know, don't let camp be what motivates you, that you're, you know, you'll go home and be encouraged, but it's your local church is where you're going to grow. And don't wait for camp. Don't wait for next year's camp to grow. You know, it's the church. That's where it's at. And so I was encouraged by that.
Just rich. And Saturday morning, so you all got home Friday, Saturday morning, we're talking about next year going to camp. Yeah. We're coming to next year. So that's a positive sign when it's the next morning you're talking about ready to go back. And that's very exciting. It was interesting. So just hopping on the call here today to record the podcast, you both were just kind of getting organized back into life. Today's your first day back on a weekday. Today's Monday. June 28th, you both got back Friday evening just last week and now back into things and talking about needing to get some refreshment in the word here as you get back into life. I thought that was interesting that you commented here on just getting back into the word for yourselves. And I thought it might be helpful for students who are listening to this and folks of MCC, just what is that like for you, just daily patterns in the word to sustain your growth as a part of the church? And when we gather together, obviously we're hearing preaching or reading God's word, doing Bible studies, but on your own here, just feeding yourselves on a Monday. Just yesterday we were together preaching and hearing preaching and Bible study last night for men, and yet just wanting to be in the word today here. DJ, start with you. What is the general pattern just like in terms of feeding on the word?
Yeah. So, yeah, I try to have that be one of the first things I do in the morning, just to start the day off, you know, with the word. Just so that, you know, it's the first thing that's on my mind, and then it's something that I can recall as the day goes on, as I get busy, as I get, you know, start doing things, you know, something that I can kind of reflect back on. So I try to have it be the first thing I do. You know, it'll vary depending on how much time I have. You know, if I'm working one day, then I maybe don't have as much time to set aside in the morning to, you know, spending a whole lot of time in the word. But, you know, I try to have it be the first thing that I do. And so what I have recently started doing is, and today looked a little bit different because I had a whole week off from doing this, but what I'll try to do is open up Daily Dose of Greek, and they're going through John 8 right now, and just following along with that, translating, you know, getting an idea for some of the bigger themes, and then I'll try to, you know, at the same time kind of look back on what, you know, what Daily Dose of Greek went over prior to that as well, so I can get a larger, you know, so I'm not just looking at one verse isolated, but I'm looking at the whole context. Okay, you know, Jesus is talking to, you know, a specific group right here. You know, he's saying this. Well, what was said before? What have they said? What has he said before that? Just so I can get a, you know, good, greater understanding of what all is being talked about. And that also helps just as I kind of allow the word then to guide me into prayer. Okay, what's kind of the theme of what is being talked about here, and how then can I use that theme to lead me into prayer? This today looked a little bit different because I was playing catch up a little bit, so I was going back over, you know, a lot of the verses that I wasn't able to look at while we were at camp, and so I just spent a little bit more time. Usually what I'll do is I'll start off with Daily Dose of Greek and then go into, you know, either scripture storyline and reading along with that, or right now I'm trying to go through Galatians as well, just as, since we're going through that as a church, trying to go through that a little bit slower myself. And so, you know, I'll open up to that and read through portions of Galatians and, you know, just spend maybe, you know, 15 to 30 minutes in the word, and then allow that to transition me into prayer. And then I have, you know, a specific schedule set out of what I want to pray for each day. So Mondays are the days where I pray for the MCC Bulletin. I just pray over those items. And so, but, you know, again, I try to incorporate the themes of what I'm reading in scripture into my prayer. And so what I was reading this morning was really talking about, you know, Christ, what Jesus was communicating with this group in John 8 about, you know, that they were unable to hear, that, you know, that they were unable to hear because you know, their father is the devil, and then Christ had not opened up that opportunity for them to hear his word. They weren't able to understand it because they couldn't hear him. And so allowing that to influence how I pray, you know, just through the various items. And so that's just kind of what it looks like. I'll try to spend, you know, then another 20, 30 minutes in prayer, and just allow that time to be, to kind of get me started for the rest of the day.
So fun to hear of the joys that you have there and taking in the word and then taking that to your life and praying for people and finding that pattern of hearing the word and then praying. And even just yesterday, Pastor Jared, during our worship gathering, mentioned that very pattern right there. The prayer is a response. We take in the word and pray. Julie, how about you? Give listeners a snapshot.
Yeah, most days begin just getting up and getting a cup of coffee and sitting on the couch and reading through some verses that I've just had written out for years, just some verses that focus my mind on worship towards God, and then some verses that remind me of the gospel, Ephesians 1, and just some verses that can focus me, my eyes towards Jesus, and then just some practical verses on just Christian living as a Christian and a wife and a mom. And from there, you know, just have a general pattern that isn't complicated. It's just reading scripture storyline, so I'm never having to think about what to read. So right now we're wrapping up Ezra and begin Nehemiah. And that's always a joy, just reading through the Bible as it is. And then spend time in prayer. And yeah, that's it.
And this is the daily routine, and yep, that you use, both of you, to feed yourselves. And that makes church life all the richer for us when we have those relationships that we gather around the word together and share in that. Well, Julie, DJ, thank you so much for taking a few minutes here to give MCC folks and listeners of Voices of MCC podcast an opportunity to hear about the youth camp, what the Lord did and how it encouraged you, and just your own lives as well. Friends, I want to thank you for listening here. And again, thank Pastor Adam Anderson and Caleb Sheffield for their music on the front and backside here of the recording, and Alex Volkman for his work producing this each week. Until next time, the Lord bless and keep you.